was about to ask if he had any of that water left. He didn't leave it up here. I appreciate that message, Joe, don't you?
Amen.
I tell you the truth, I was just sitting back here thinking, I'm excited. I was thinking, I'm a fan of Jesus. I really am. I'm sitting back here, and I just, if I had a sign, I just wonder what you'd do if I just have a big old sign that said Jesus on it, amen? Jumped up and down and
praise
took my
Lord.
Shirt off, big J wrote on my chest. No, I wouldn't go that far.
Whoa, wait
but, but I tell you the truth, though, isn't it something? I mean, I was just getting excited from the message, from the singing, just from the thought of being saved.
Amen.
By the good grace of God, and boy, we ought to just be crazy about Jesus. And of course, we're in Nebraska, and I think so many times of how man, this is just a red state, isn't it? I mean, Nebraska, red Cornhusker country. And I heard a fella, I don't know a whole lot. I hadn't been this close to Nebraska since I've lived out here in the West, but I had one fella tell me that on days that Nebraska, or the week following a Nebraska win, of course, that's all anybody wants to talk about. But he said it beat all he ever seen that when Nebraska lost, he said nobody said anything. And I don't know if that's true or not, but the thing I got to thinking about was this, is that Jesus never loses. Amen.
Amen.
And we can always be excited about him. And just like they're saying about the psalmist, he always had hope. And I'll be honest with you, as a young Christian, just reading those psalms as my devotions changed my life to this day. I mean, from 18 years ago to this day, those psalms changed my life because I saw that David learned to praise God even when things weren't going good,
right,
just like the preacher said, and boy, that was a blessing. But if you have your Bibles this evening, turn to the book of Exodus, and I'm sure glad to be here. I am totally fed up. Boy, preacher took us out to eat, and man, they gave me this thing stuffed with all kinds of meat, and I don't know, beans, and rice, and jalapeno peppers, and everything else, and man, it was good. I appreciate it. Appreciate the meal. In Exodus chapter number 12 this evening, I felt as soon as your pastor told me to come, I felt like the Lord started laying this passage on my heart. I began reading and studying and trying to get my thoughts together on it. I hope that it'll come across the way the Lord's brought it across to me. But in Exodus chapter number 12, let's all stand, please, and I don't always do that either, but just after that long message you just heard, it'd be good to kind of get your messages stretched out, your legs stretched out, and I'm gonna stretch the message out. I thought we was going to midnight, so I just got this thing prepared to go all the way, so we'll do what we can. No, I'm just teasing, brother.
Just lock up when you leave.
Just lock up when you leave, amen. That's good. But anyway, Exodus chapter number 12, and I want to begin reading in verse number 1. I just want to read down to verse number 2 to start with, and we'll take that as our text, and then look at some of the other verses as we go along. The Bible says in Exodus 12, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." This, as far as I know, is the first recognized and day that was specified as the first New Year's Eve. I know there was others, but that was specified as New Year's Eve. This was the first year. This is going to be the beginning of the year for the nation of Israel. And there's some things that go along with this passage that that was a blessing to me. It challenged me. I honestly, I'm a little slow sometimes. The Lord didn't call me to preach or save me because I was smart. Now, I want to be smart, and I try to read and learn, but sometimes it takes me a little bit, and sometimes it takes me a few times. I'm glad we got spell check.
Hallelujah.
I'm glad I've got a wife that helps me with some of that stuff. Listen, it's a shame. I mean, my girls in school, I sometimes try to sit and listen to some of the grammar, try to learn it, and that's the truth. I wish I was kidding, but anyway, I just saw this about a year ago that this was New Year's Eve for the nation of Israel, for the people of God. And it was a new beginning. And that's one of the things I like about New Year's, is it is a new beginning. And not only is it a New Year's Eve for the nation of Israel, but I got to think about this, it's really an Independence Day too. If you like holidays, it's a new year, it's Independence Day, it's going to be a Memorial Day, and it's definitely a day of Thanksgiving, amen? Kind of all wrapped up into one, but let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then you can be seated, and we'll try to give you what the Lord's placed on our heart. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much for the privilege to be in your house this evening. Thank you for putting this church here. Thank you for putting all of us here. Lord, God, just like Brother Shane, God, hard to imagine being here in this part of the country, God, being in here in this church. Lord, what a blessing, God, to see your great hand. Lord, all you've done, all you're going to continue to do. Lord, God, I'm probably not the only one in here tonight, God, that reflects oftentimes on New Year's Eve of what I'd be doing if Jesus hadn't saved me on this New Year's Eve. And here I am in the church, Lord, and I thank you for that. Yes. And I just pray that you'll bless, and we'll thank you, Lord, and praise you for all that you do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, I want to try to preach this scene with the Lord's help on a new beginning. You can be seated. And on this thought of the new beginning, of course, Exodus chapter 12, if you're familiar with it, is speaking of the Passover. And I began to think about this thing of a new beginning. And the first thing I thought about, I want to give three main points. I want to try to focus in on one in particular. But first of all, the Lamb of the new beginning. The Lamb of new beginning. I'm glad they sang that song, It's Still the Blood. The Lamb of the new beginning. And that speaks of salvation. And I'll say more about that in just a moment. But number two, I want to look at the meal of the new beginning. The meal of a new beginning. I wonder if I'm the only one that's been pigging out for the last 2 weeks because I'm figuring on losing weight. Starting tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow, but maybe the day after that. I wonder if I'm the only one that's ate a few extra cookies and a few extra pieces of pie and justified all I just pigged out on tonight by saying I'm going to lose it later on. But isn't it interesting, on this New Year's Eve that's recorded in the Bible, it has something to say about diet. Now, you'll be glad to know I'm talking about diet just as far as what we eat, not necessarily going on a diet. Somebody say amen right there. I'm not preaching on a diet tonight, so we can not worry about that. You ought to be glad if you like me. But not only do we see the meal of a new beginning, but then we also see the attire of a new beginning. And so there's three main points in this passage I want to think about in relation to a new beginning. But first of all, I want to look at the Lamb of the new beginning. Now, we know that up to this point that the children of Israel had been in cruel bondage under the hand of Pharaoh. So God, hallelujah, sent a deliverer. And through the blood of the Lamb, amen, they were redeemed. I wish I could preach about redemption, amen, tonight. They were redeemed and delivered out of Egypt's land. And I'm glad for the day that God sent a deliverer to mankind, yes, who was also in bondage to a cruel king and a cruel master. We were slaves to sin in this world, but I'm glad God sent a deliverer, hallelujah, and his name was Jesus Christ, and he was the Lamb of God, and he is the Lamb of God, and it was through his blood that we've been set free, and hallelujah, brought out of this old world, and we're in the world, but praise God, we're no longer of the world.
Amen.
And so, and as I mentioned earlier, the Hebrew nation, before this time, they had a civil calendar. But after this day, they had basically two calendars. They had a civil calendar, and they had a religious calendar. And the religious calendar, of course, was introduced on this day. And the civil calendar their year began around September, October of our calendar. And then the religious year started around March or April. Right in there is where the new year began in the religious sense. And by the way, one of the great keys about that is it's springtime. And one of the great keys about that is, and I'm getting way ahead here, but the Lamb of God gave his life, I believe, on the Passover. Amen? And he rose again the third day. Guess when? It was right there around our spring. Amen? And it was the first of the year, and it was a new beginning. But it was right around that time. And the focus, by the way, of the Passover is the Lamb. The focus of the Passover is the Lamb. And I want to say this, really, the focus of the Bible is the Lamb.
Amen.
We've been going through that in our devotions about the Lamb, starting back in Genesis, and you can see it all the way through the book of Revelation. In Genesis 22, verse 7, there's a question posed by Isaac as he asked his father Abraham, "Where's the Lamb? Where's the Lamb?" And that really introduced one of the major themes of the Old Testament as God's people waited for the Messiah. The question was ultimately answered by John the Baptist when he pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ while baptizing in that muddy River Jordan, and the Lord Jesus Christ coming over those hills, and John the Baptist said, "Behold! Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Amen. And by the way, to be a five-point Calvinist, you just can't believe that verse, amen? Hey, hallelujah. Hey. Listen, he's the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world, amen. I'm glad about that. I'm glad what I believe comes out of the Bible. But anyway, so that's what he said. And then later on we see that that the Passover lamb is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's affirmed by Philip as he preaches in Acts chapter number 8 whenever the Ethiopian eunuch is reading Isaiah 53 about the lamb that would come. And you remember what Philip did? Philip jumped up in the chariot, and what did he preach? He preached unto him Jesus.
Yes,
amen. See, affirming that Jesus is that Passover lamb. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, says, "For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." Isn't that something? Peter, in 1 Peter 1, 18 through 19, "For as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ,
amen,
as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." And we know that throughout the book of Revelation, one verse in particular, Revelation 13, verse 8, the Bible says, "The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." And it's interesting to me that throughout eternity, Jesus is called a lamb. And you look at that lamb, it's just talking about a little lamb. But that lamb is defeating the dragon, amen?
Amen.
And that lamb is defeating the legions of hell.
Amen.
And that lamb is returning, but he is the Lamb of God. And throughout this passage here, I'm not going to take the time to read these first seven verses, mainly because even though I'm preaching about it right now, I don't want to spend any more time because I do want to get on to the next point. But I do just want to go over some things that we see here in these verses 1 through 6, that the Lamb was chosen and examined. The Lamb was chosen and examined. And of course, the Lamb was chosen before time began, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was examined on the 10th day. He was chosen, and for 4 days, he was examined to make sure that he wasn't crippled, to make sure he wasn't sick. He had to be a spotless lamb. And it's just like the Lord Jesus Christ. He answered all the questions of the Pharisees, or either he ignored them, but there was never anything that they could put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan tempted him, but he couldn't. Listen, because there was no sin in him. He had no sin. By the way, I believe in the impeccability of Christ. I don't believe Jesus Christ. And the reason, by the way, I believe that's like other things I believe is because that's what the Bible says. Amen. There was no sin in him. And by the way, there's some real popular Bible teachers out there today that don't believe that. They don't believe that, but I'm telling you, they don't believe the book. But he is the Lamb of God. There was no sin. And I have to agree with Pilate when he said, "I find no fault in him." He was chosen and examined was the Lamb. The Lamb was slain. It's not the life of the Lamb that saved. It was the death, and it was the blood of the Lamb that saved.
Amen.
But not only that, the shedding of blood, we know without the shedding of blood, Hebrews 9:22, there is no remission. But we also need to understand that that blood must be applied.
Right.
And it's one thing to say, "I believe that the Lamb died." I believe, but I'm telling you, it's more than just a head belief, it's a heart belief. And that heart belief means the blood is applied to our hearts. And when judgment comes, then, of course, we'll be passed over and praise God protected from that. But so the Lamb was slain. And by the way, I think there's an interesting progression here in chapter 12. Verse 3, he's called, the Lamb is called a Lamb. Verse 4, he's called the Lamb. And in verse 5, he's called your Lamb. And for a lot of us, we can remember a time when he was just a Savior. He's a Savior. And then maybe we progressed a little bit and saw, well, you know, he's the Savior. But aren't you glad for the day that he was your Savior? Amen?
Amen.
You realize he just wasn't a Savior. He's just not the Savior. He's my Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's how that we see that progression there. I think it's interesting in verse 22 of this chapter that the blood was applied with hyssop. Hyssop was a flimsy little plant. I mean, there wasn't much to it. I mean, it wasn't significant. It wasn't really worth a whole lot. It was just a flimsy little plant. But it was because it was through that hyssop that the blood was applied. And by the way, I found it interesting that this same hyssop was used to ratify the covenant in Exodus 24. And the same hyssop was also used to cleanse the lepers in Leviticus chapter number 14. And that hyssop is a picture of our faith. It's a picture of our faith. Listen, it's not how strong our faith is that saves us. Amen. Listen, it's not that. It's the blood that saves. It's the object of our faith. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not. You maybe have and maybe haven't been able to put it into words. But do you realize that you and I know a lot of people that have faith in their faith? They have faith in their faith. Well, buddy, when your faith ain't nothing but a piece of old broken down weak hyssop, you don't have a whole lot to put any faith in. My faith is not in my faith. My faith is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So we see the Lamb of a new beginning. And aren't you glad for the day that you got saved by God's grace? Was that not a new beginning?
Yeah.
Pastor was talking about remembering that day. I remember that day. I got saved in 92, brother. And praise God. And in October of 92. So he's a little ahead of me. But I'm glad for that. It was a new day. It was a new beginning. It was an Independence Day. I mean, everything that it was for the children of Israel, it was for you and I. And we ought not ever get over it. And we'll see a little bit about that in the next one. This is where I want to try to spend the remainder of my time, is on the meal of the new beginning. I couldn't get this alliterated, so I just did the best I could. The Lamb of the new beginning, then the meal of the new beginning. Verses 8 through 10, we'll read that. Verses 8 through 10, the Bible says, "And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire." So I believe that the Lamb of the new beginning speaks of our salvation. And it's important to note right here that what did he say when the death angel comes and the Lord's going to come by and pass over each door? What did it say? He said, "I'm looking for the blood. When I see the blood." He didn't say, "I'm looking to see if you've got your shoes on and your loins girded." He didn't say, "I'm going to come in and see how you've done with the preparation of the lamb and the bitter herbs and the unleavened." He didn't say none of that. He said, "When I see the blood, I'm going to pass over." So the blood there, the lamb, is what speaks of salvation, but the meal speaks of sanctification. Sanctification. And as I said earlier, diet and New Year's have gone together, I guess, for a long time. But I'm glad that anyway, I'm not getting off on that again. But I read this, thought it was interesting. C.H. McIntosh said this: "Now, it was one thing to rest in the security of the shed blood without, and another thing to eat the lamb that was roast within." So there's one thing. See, if you're in here and you're saved, praise God, you're in. You're in. You study the book of Ephesians, that little word "in" is a key word, "in." You ought to just go through there and look at the word "in" in the book of Ephesians. If the blood's been applied to your heart, you're in. That's one thing, but here's what the Apostle Paul said, "that I may know Him." Hey. I've heard a lot of people, and I use it, and I don't fuss about it or anything, but it's not always the exact best terminology. A lot of times we'll try to use the terminology about somebody that's in, about somebody that's saved, by saying they know God. They know God. Do you know God? Yes, I'm saved. Well, that's great. But did you know that just because you're saved and just because you're in don't mean that you really know God?
Right. right.
Now you know Him as your Savior. You have a relationship with Him. But the Apostle Paul here has been saved for years. His dedication to Christ is to such to the extent that he's in prison for Christ. And what is he saying? That I may know Him. I want to know Him more. See, this know speaks of intimacy.
Sure.
Intimacy. You know, the way that changed my way of thinking about the word know in the New Testament is remembering how the word know is often used in the Old Testament. So-and-so knew his wife. So-and-so knew. That's the idea. The idea is of intimacy. The idea is of a closeness. The idea is of not just a casual relationship and a casual acquaintance, but it's a deep personal knowledge with the Lord. And so, the Apostle Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Here was the desire of one who had already rested in the blood of sprinkling. The fellowship of Christ's sufferings is but little known even by those that are resting in the blood of Christ. Were it more entered into, there would be far more depth of experience and power of Christian action than there is. I'm quoting C.H. McIntosh. We are too ready to rest content with knowing the value of the blood without feeding on the Lamb. And thus we lose much of what is really our privilege in the way of personal fellowship with Jesus. We are introduced by the blood into a position in which we can dwell with ever-deepening joy upon the intrinsic excellency of the person of Christ. It is not merely the work which has been done, but the one who has done it. The former is properly the object for the sinner, and the latter for the saint. And the more the saint is enabled to enter into what Christ is, the more perfect will be his response in his work. That's kind of a long quote, but I hope you got the gist of it. It's one thing to say, praise God, I'm in! But what are we doing now that we're in? What are we doing now that we're in? And that's the question. The meal of the new beginning. You know, I started thinking about eating. I was just trying to get my mind together on this. Eating. And I like to eat. But eating speaks of our appetite. Appetite speaks of desire. Alright? So what is it that we partake of? So when the Bible's thinking about eating the Lamb, the idea is having a desire. Having an appetite for Jesus. Having an appetite for the things of God. So when I think about eating, it speaks of appetite or desire. You know that we eat out of necessity? A lot of us go beyond that. I don't have time to joke around a whole lot about that. But we do eat out of necessity. If we didn't eat something, we'd die after a while. Now, some of us got a good store that we might last a while, amen. But the fact is that we cannot survive without food. Eating affects our health, it affects our weight, it affects our energy. And what I'm talking about here is, spiritually speaking, if we're to be partaking of the Lamb, number one, we need to have an appetite for the things of God. We need to have an appetite for the Lord Jesus Christ, a desire for Him, a desire for closeness with Him. But if we do that, what we'll find, number one, it's a necessity. I've talked about this before. I don't know if I'm the only one that's ever come home after being gone all day, and my wife's got a good, nice meal on the table, and I don't really partake of it real good. And she says, "Honey, what's wrong?" And I said, "Oh, I'm just full already. It's really good." But then later on, she's hanging up my coat or washing my breeches, and she finds about two or three Snicker bar papers in there. That ever happened to anybody else? Okay, anyway, you can't admit it, but what I'm saying, what happened? I didn't have an appetite for what was healthy because I'd already indulged in that which was unhealthy.
Right.
And the reason some of us don't have an appetite for the things of God and the good things of God is because we've been partaking of things that are filling us up otherwise.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with... You know, a lot of the things, I'm not talking about sinful things. It can be sinful things, as the past, as Brother Shank said. But sometimes it's good things. You know, sports. Man, we were talking about sports, and if you talk to me about sports, you'll find out I like sports. I partake of it. I have an appetite for sports. But I don't. I just don't ever need to get it to the point. Here's when you know you're in trouble. When I can stand back there with you fellas and talk about, you know, the ball game, and just get it so excited about it, and probably if they wouldn't have stopped us, I could still be back here talking about it. I had another game I was wanting to bring up. Seriously. But here's what I'm saying is, the problem is when I'm more excited, when I'm more vocal about that, when it takes up more of my mind, my thinking, you know, that's when I'm starting to maybe eat a little bit too much of that.
That's good.
You know, see, the Apostle Paul said it this way, for me to live is Christ. And if we're not careful, I could easily get to the point where I could say, man, for me to live is Carolina. I don't talk about the state, I'm talking about the team. I mean, for me to live is Carolina. I eat it, I drink it, I sleep it. I can tell you that walk-on player, you know, that 5'2 guy that sits on the bench, I can tell you his name, where he's from, what his favorite food is, you know. Not really, but so there's times I can. All I'm saying is that if I can do that, and yet I'm not in the Word of God. Amen. I'm giving you right now the gist of a whole lot I got written down here that I can't give you, but the lamb, it was roasted whole. I'm not gonna, but we need the Lord. And I read the verses earlier out of 1 Corinthians 5, where the Bible says that Christ is our Passover. It also talks about eating the unleavened bread, but I want to focus on the lamb just for another moment more. I thought about this. Psalm 34, verse 8, the Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Psalm 34, 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. So, we need to learn to partake of the Lord. I read the verse ready, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Yea, doubtless," Philippians 3, 8, "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ." We see these verses. And so, you know, I begin to think of it this way. I begin to think of something else along these lines. All right? And I'm going to try to stop here in just a sec, but I want to give you this. I begin to think about people being known for certain foods. I wonder if I would just be willing to bet tonight that everyone in here tonight can think of somebody that you know that you associate a certain food with. What I mean by that is this. I've got a pastor friend in South Dakota that I expect when I go to their house, I expect to eat some either pumpkin bread, zucchini bread, banana bread, some kind of something like that. Because she's always making that kind of stuff. And so when I go there, I'm expecting it. If I ever wanted a moon pie, anybody knows what a moon pie is?
Hallelujah.
Okay, if I ever wanted a moon pie, go to my grandpa's house. He bought them by the case. What I'm saying is, when I see moon pie to this day, you know what I think of? My great-grandpa. By the way, he had diabetes too, man. He sure did eat them things. But anyway, that's what I associate. And what I can think of a neighbor that I had. Every time I was disappointed if I ever went to that woman's house and she didn't have a cake on one of them dishes, you know, there sitting on the counter in the kitchen. And here's what I begin to think about that. I wonder what we're known for.
Yeah, it's good.
I hope that maybe our kids, or our grandkids, or our friends, or the people that we work with, I wonder if they know. Man, if you get around them, they're going to have a whole case of Jesus. Amen? I don't mean to be irreverent there, but I'm just trying to, you know, they're, that's what they're going to be talking about. Man, what they got over there at lunch, man, they're over there feasting on Jesus again. You know? I hope, you see what I'm saying?
Yes,
I know my kids are going to remember me for bleeding Carolina blue. I can't, you know, you ladies can think of something that's associating, you may be the same, but whatever it is, they're going to remember me for that, no doubt. But I sure hope they don't remember that more than me loving Jesus.
Hey, right.
Amen, you see what
Amen,
I'm saying?
Preacher, right.
I mean, they're going to know that I like to hunt, but I sure hope they think more of me loving Jesus than any of that. And so, all I'm saying is, feasting on that, sometimes people are known for it. The unleavened bread that we're supposed to feast on, there's several applications for that unleavened bread. I'll close with the bitter herbs on this point. The bitter herbs was to remind them of their bitter bondage. You know what? They got up there and sung that song. You know what that song does? "Once I Wandered in Sin's Dark Night." What that does is that's us feasting on them bitter herbs and remembering what it was like that dark night.
Amen.
When we was lost in our sin. Listen, we're supposed to remind ourselves. You know, it's a shame that some Christians never talk about when they got saved.
That's right.
And I believe we ought to talk about what God's doing in our lives today and this week. Don't get me wrong. But man, we ought to be willing to talk about when we got saved by God's grace. It's a great way to witness. It's a great test. You might not know a whole lot, but man, you ought to know about when you got saved. I've had people get aggravated with me when I asked them, do you know when you got saved? I had this one precious lady, I don't think I'll forget it anytime soon. And I was talking to her about her salvation. She was there in the hospital bed, an elderly lady. And I said, have you ever been saved? She said, well, I think maybe so. I said, well, can you tell me about it? And she looked up at me and she said, can you? But it was kind of like, I got you. Can you tell me about it? I said, buckle up, Granny. Amen. I didn't say that. But I said, yes, ma'am. And boy, for about 5 minutes there, Lord, God, I was a preaching. No, I was testifying and telling her about when God saved me. Amen. Hey, we need to eat those bitter herbs and remember, because you know what happened to the children of Israel? This can happen to all of us sometimes. We don't eat those bitter herbs. You know what will happen? We get down there on the job. We sit at home, whatever the case is, and all of a sudden, Egypt starts looking real good to us again. Egypt starts looking pretty good. Boy, look at the way they're living. The children of Israel done the same thing. Yeah. Oh, man, those onions and those leeks and the garlic, man. They had some good stuff back there in Egypt they got thinking about. But did you forget about the taskmasters? Did you forget about the slavery? Did you forget about the life that you had? It wasn't even a life. But that's why we need to eat those bitter herbs. And then lastly, the attire of a new beginning speaks of anticipation. They had to eat with their loins girded. They had to eat with their shoes shod. In other words, they had to eat being ready to go. And by the way, you know what else? Everything they ate for that day had to be ate that night. Nothing was left for tomorrow. You know one of the things we can figure out as Christians? Somebody sang the song years ago, One Day at a Time. But I tell you this, if we're not careful, it's real easy to think. And it's real easy to try to live on what God did for us a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago. Listen, there's none left for the next day. From this day, but there is a brand new lamb tomorrow. There is more bread tomorrow. There are more bitter herbs. It's every day. Don't even expect to get all kinds of great help tonight. And boy, now I'm set for a while now. I don't know about you, but I have a tendency. I don't know if it's human nature. I have a tendency to do that. But what we need to realize, there's none left till tomorrow. Burn whatever's left. Start a brand new day. Amen. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord. Please help us to take these truths and apply them to our heart, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.